Chapter 46. Alex. Hey there, Chet Smoka. This is Alex Kamal, presently of the Razorback. Naomi, if you're there, I'd appreciate you giving me a sign. I'd sort of like to make sure it's you before we come over. Your ship's been acting a mite odd, and we're a little on the jumpy side. And just in case it's not Naomi Nagata, I've got 15 missiles locked on you right now, so whoever you are, you might want to talk with me. Alex shut off the mic and rubbed his cheek. They were on the float now, course matched with the mysterious ship, only about 50 kilometers above them on the relative Z-axis. The sun, larger by far than he'd ever seen it from Mars, glowed below them, heating the little pinnace almost to the limit of its ability to shed the energy. Behind him, Bobby was watching the same feed he was. "That doesn't look good," she said. "Nope." As a boy, back on Mars, there had been a little improvised firework that his friends would sometimes make for fun. All it took was a length of light-duty pipe, a mining spike, and a single-use rocket motor. The way it worked, they'd spike one end of the pipe to a flat section of wall, fix the motor to the other end with industrial tape or epoxy with the thrust pointing off to one side, fire the motor, and the whole thing turned into a ring of smoke and fire, the pipe spinning around its axis faster than the eye could follow, the flare of the motor exhaust blinding and flickering. Sometimes the motor came loose and bounced along the corridor, posing a threat to everyone watching. Sometimes the spike came loose. Most times it just left a circle of scrapes and scorch marks on the stone of the wall that pissed off the maintenance crews. They called them fire weasels. He didn't know why. Above them, the Chetsmoka was spinning like a fire weasel. She wasn't quite tumbling, but the circle she was burning in was tight. All the acceleration she'd been using to burn hard out toward the belt and Holden was getting eaten now, each point on her pathway canceling out the point 180 degrees off from it. Her exhaust plume was a jet of flame and plasma that would glass anything that tried to approach her, unless it came from above or below. And if they did that... "What do you think happened?" Bobby asked. "Maneuvering thruster fired off, never got balanced. Can you match course with that? I mean, even if we decided we wanted to?" Alex pressed the tip of his tongue to the back of his teeth and willed Naomi to call him, to give him a sign that she was still alive, that he wasn't about to risk his ship and his life and the lives of the people with him to rescue a corpse. "Might have to come up with something clever." He pulled up the tactical display. The Razorback, and her cloud of missiles with no one left to shoot at. The Chetsmoka, chasing its tail like a terrier that had gulped down its own body weight and uppers. Then, far distant, the UN escort, decelerating in from the sun toward a matching course, and the Rossi doing the same from the belt. Everything was coming together right here. The head of the OPA, the Prime Minister of Mars, Avasarala's best cavalry, because it was where Naomi Nagata was. And as long as Alex and Holden were drawing breath, they'd be looking out for their own. The screen lit up with an incoming message, but not from the Chetsmoka. Alex accepted it, and Holden appeared on the screen. For about 4 seconds, the captain didn't do anything but look into the camera and scratch his nose. He looked tired and thin. Alex felt the same way himself. Then a smile bloomed on Holden's face, and he seemed more like himself again. "Alex, good. Tell me what we're looking at." "Well, we haven't had any new messages since their radio cut out, but if that was an intentional message, this looks like about the worst definition of in control I've seen in a while. This mystery ship's not quite on the tumble, but she's damn close. The way she's chasing her tail, it's not going to be easy making an approach, but I'm working on an idea. The Razorback wasn't built for airlock to airlock. This here's the kind of ride you land in a hangar. But we've got EVA suits for me and Nate. That's the Prime Minister. I call him Nate now. Don't be jealous. Anyway, I figure we put the Razorback at the center of the circle Naomi's making with our nose up and our ass down, then match roll to the circle she's making. Then, as long as no one pukes in their helmet, we can send someone over to the airlock. Not sure it'll work, but it's the best idea I've got so far." He leaned forward while the tight beam laser flew the 4 light seconds out to the Rosinante, then the 4 light seconds back. To judge from the shape of Holden's face, he was probably at more than 1G. Even if the Chetsmoka hadn't gone into its surprise spin, the Razorback would have been the first to reach it. Holden's temporary pilot was going to be buying Alex a beer, provided nothing new and unexpected blew up on them. Not that he'd have given good odds on that. 5 seconds in, he remembered that he'd wanted to mention that Bobby had power armor. He didn't say it, though, since it would just interrupt whatever Holden was saying right then that wouldn't be back to Alex for a few more seconds. Light delay conversations were all about etiquette and taking turns. "Why don't we try that as proof of concept?" Holden said. "If it looks like something we can do, I can have the Rossi take your place when we get there. Then if we need to cut in through the hull, we can. Have you had any sign from Naomi?" "Not yet," Alex began. But it turned out Holden hadn't been finished, just pausing for breath. Because that whole tell James Holden I'm in control thing was weird on a lot of levels. I checked the vocal profile of the message coming off the Chetsmoker. Well, actually Fred did, it wouldn't have occurred to me. Anyway, the way she said James Holden in the first warning message about the bad bottle drivers, and the way it was in this new one, exactly the same. Fred thinks the new message may have been faked. Only then the way it got modified before it shut off. I'm seeing something here, Alex, but I don't know what it is. This time, Alex waited until he was sure Holden was done before he started talking. "We haven't had any sign at all, but it seems to me that someone on the ship's been trying to raise a flag. And this flying in circles bit makes it seem a lot less like a Trojan horse. Nothing to gain by doing it, other than make everyone inside feel powerfully like throwing up. Honestly, I don't know what we're looking at here either, Captain, and I don't think we're going to know until we get someone inside." 8 long seconds there and back again. "I'm just worried that if she is in there and the ship's out of control, we're going to be sitting out here dithering while she needs us. I can't stand the idea that we've come this close and now we're going to lose her. I know it's a little crazy, but I'm a little crazy right now. I keep thinking of her being smashed up against the wall by the spin and me out here where I can't do anything." "Yeah, thruster misfires don't work like that," Alex said. "You don't get any sideways impulse unless the thruster's actually going. After that, you've got a little spin station action, pushing the folks behind the center of spin down and the folks forward of it up. But all this is going to be in line with the thrust from the drive. So all you actually get is..." "Alex," Bobby said, "we've got something." He twisted on his couch, then turned it to face her. Bobby's eyes were on the wall screen. A panel was there, open to the view from the upper camera. The Chetsmoker was still in its mad spin, but something had come off, floating now across the clear, empty void, stars behind it like the glittering pupil of a vast eye, the eye of the storm. Bobby tried to zoom in on it the same moment Alex did, and the system made a confused, upset chime, the focus fluctuating wildly before coming to rest. A figure in an EVA suit. There were no lights on the suit, and its back was turned to them, the intense sunlight making the gray material shine almost too brightly to make out details. "Is she alive?" Alex said. "She's moving." "How long ago did she come out?" "Not long," Bobby said. "Seconds." The figure in the EVA suit lifted her arms, crossing them over her head, the belter signal for danger. Alex felt his heart speed up. "Alex," Holden said, from 4 seconds ago. "What's going on?"
"Someone came out of the ship. Let me figure this out, and I'll be back with a report," Alex said, then cut the connection.
On Bobby's screen, the figure had shifted to a time signal. 5 minutes.
"What have we got?"
Alex said. "She's making the same signs," Bobby said. "Here we go. Danger. Do not approach. Explosion hazard. But then here's low air. And 4 minutes.
"Is it her?" Alex said, knowing there wasn't an answer for that.
Even if the figure turned its face to them, Alex wasn't certain between glare and the suit's helmet if he'd have been able to identify Naomi. It was just a person in an EVA suit, running out of air, and warning them over and over again that it was a trap. But Alex thought that whoever it was, they sure moved like Naomi. And they'd both been calling the figure she. They might not know, but they were both pretty certain. The body of the Razorback felt suddenly claustrophobic, like the appearance of Naomi right there where he could see her required more room to move, enough space to reach her. Alex set the pinnace's system to the diamond-bright suit and started it calculating. "Where's she going to go?" Bobby asked.
"Looks like she's set to drift across into the path of the ship again," Alex said. "If I don't hit her, maybe she gets past and the drive plume gets her."
"Or we watch her suffocate?" Bobby said.
"I can take the ship in," Alex said.
"And CRISPR decelerating?"
"Well, yeah."
"Get your helmets on," Bobby yelled loud enough to carry into the back cabin. "I'm going in."
"That suit's got enough thrust to do a 50-click flip and burn in under 4 minutes?"
Alex asked, but he was already sealing his suit as he said it.
"Nope," Bobby said, reaching for her helmet with one hand and a spare bottle of air with the other. "But it's got really good mag boots and gloves."
Alex checked his seals and got ready to open the razor back to the void.
"Don't see how that's going to help."
The Prime Minister's cabin showed it was sealed. On the monitor, the figure, Naomi, signaled danger, do not approach, explosion hazard. Bobby yelped, took a deep, shuddering breath. Her voice was coming through the EVA's suit's radio now.
"God damn, it's been a long time since I was on the juice. This is some powerfully unpleasant shit. Bobby, we're running out of time here. How are mag boots going to get you to Naomi?"
Behind her helmet's visor, Bobby grinned.
"How good's your control on those missiles?"
she asked.